Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes, joined as usual by the man with the plan, Augie. And we've got an interesting one for you this week. And where would we start? Well, let's start where we kind of left off last week. Remember, we were talking about, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, the big Don, and not getting it on. And the lady who did win, Corinne Maria Machalate Kombucha, something, some global homo supporting revolutionary halfwit, you know, basically a CIA op. She kind of turned up, right, Augie, very quickly, just almost as soon as she won the Nobel Peace Prize for wanting to overthrow a democratically elected government. Real peaceful, yeah. As soon as she wins, she turns up giving an interview about how she's going to give everything in Venezuela, right, Augie? All the oil, all the gold, because Venezuela's got a ton of all that stuff. It really is. I think it's got the biggest oil reserves anywhere in the world, maybe, or certainly one of the biggest ones. She's going to give it all away. Surprise, surprise. Now, there might be a clue in who she's giving the interview to, right, Augie? Check who she's giving the interview to. This is really, really great. Watch this. Run the video, Augie.
Forget about Saudi Arabia. Forget about the Saudis. I mean, we have more oil.
Yeah, I told you.
Infinite potential.
Take it all.
And we're going to open markets. We're going to kick off the government from the oil sector. We are going to privatize all our industries. Venezuela has huge resources, oil, gas, minerals, land, technology.
Take
it
all.
And as you said before, we have a strategic location, you know, hours from the United States. So we're going to do this right. We know what we have to do. And American companies are in, you know, super strategic position to invest. This country, Venezuela, is going to be the brightest opportunity for investment of American companies, of good people.
Augie, who is that, by the way, taking the interview? Just who's that guy? Who's that guy with the beard just asking the
question? I don't know. This looks like a little bit like Hunter Biden.
You kind of, Hunter Biden, yeah, ish, but sort of do Hunter Biden, but do Donald Trump. I mean, I mean, that's Donald Trump's son, right?
Yes, that's exactly who there is.
Yeah, evidence for sale. Now, of course, the you know, the Nobel Peace Prize thing was a bit of a clown show. And the really big show, in fairness to the big Don, you know, sure, he might have given them all the weapons, and we'll have a look at that in a second. He might have given them, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to do the genociding with. He might have given them political cover at the UN. He might have, you know, basically been the man behind the curtain pulling the levers for the whole war. But he did kind of end the war. Are we going to give him, we're going to add this to his list? Are we going to add it to?
Yeah, we will, but only for like 5 seconds.
Because that's how long the peace is going to last. Yeah, so the big show was, of course, the end of the war. The peace has come to the Middle East. For 3,000 years, there's been terrible war in the Middle East, and I ended it. 3,000 years? Yeah, I'm not so sure. But anyway, look, the main thing is that the, you know, the Israelis have stopped killing people. You know, Hamas stopped killing people quite a long time ago, didn't they? When October 7th, when they mysteriously came through the most guarded border on Earth. 8 hours there, killing loads of Israeli people. Nobody turns up to stop it, and they go back home with a few hundred hostages. You know, very strange. The most guarded border in the world. It would never have had anything to do with Mossad and Benjamin Netanyahu letting it all happen so he could take over, turn Gaza into a car park. Anyway, I digress. Augie, the killing has stopped, right?
By Israeli measures, yes.
So what, there's only two or three getting killed every 5 minutes now?
Exactly. As we record this show, just today Al Jazeera has reported that at least three Palestinians have been shot by Israeli, but does it even count if they are not bombing like 1,000 people in a second?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an improvement, let's say. And anyway, speaking about improvements, the Israelis did have the best sort of supplies, the best gear, the best weapons, right? Talking about sort of being, you know, proud of it.
Exactly, Che. And as Trump said, and we're going to listen to this, they used them well. And here's the numbers of Israelis using those weapons, those American weapons, well. 217 journalists killed, 120 academics, and over 224 humanitarian aid workers. And that's, of course, not counting the Palestinians themselves. Out of 70,000 Palestinians killed, the reports say 80% of them were civilians.
You can't make an omelet without making some eggs. What do you know? Yeah, run the video, Augie.
But we have to do what we have to do. We make the best weapons in the world, and we've got a lot of them. And we've given a lot to Israel, frankly. And
Jesus. Like, what?
I bet he loved that. He loved the sunny relief.
He enjoyed it.
I mean, Bibi would call me so many times, can you get me this weapon, that weapon, that weapon? Some of them I never heard of, Bibi, and I made them.
Got any more of that genocide? It's real good.
But we'd get them here, wouldn't we? And they are the best. They are the best. But you used them well. It also takes people that know how to use them.
Used them well. Jesus Christ, bro. Now, you guys might remember a certain George Bush Jr. standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier at the end of the Iraq war, you know, mission accomplished. Remember that? Mission accomplished, right? I get a kind of smell, Uggy, of a bit of a mission accomplished kind of gig here. But that didn't stop them putting out the big banners. Peace in the Middle East. The Gaza war is over. You still kill a few Palestinians if you like, you know. Just keep it under 100 a day. And, you know, we kind of brush it under the carpet. You got the right weapons, right? But, you know, I got a feeling that despite all the ass-kissing and all the congratulations, they've even promised them, I think, the Nobel Peace Prize for next year. You're going to get it next year, right? It didn't stop Mr. Rubio, did it, Augie? Mr. Rubio was determined to make this the best event in 50 years and half a century of history, right?
You gotta kiss ass.
You gotta kiss ass. Run the video, Augie.
It's clearly, in my mind, I think in the mind of everyone in this room, probably one of the most important days for world peace.
He just picked 50 years, did he?
That's not an exaggeration.
Let's just pick 50.
Maybe 100.
Maybe 100?
World War II.
Yeah, the end of World War II, the end of the Cold War, you know, Vietnam, Iraq, you know, Cambodia, you know, forget all that. This, because we're here, this is the greatest moment in human history. Now, of course, Augie and I are always sort of watching. We're kind of voyeurs, political voyeurs. We're on, you know, permatext to each other saying, do you see the way Trump is holding Macron's hand? I think he's going to hold it longer than Erdogan held it. It's kind of creepy, but it's also a bit gay. But what was probably creepier and more gay was the length of time that the big Don held Macron's hand on the stage. All the sort of clapping seals were ushered in to get embarrassed and spanked by the big Don. But this one was particularly grimy, wasn't it, Augie?
As you said, Che, it was creepy and gay. Our favorite combination.
Yes, indeed, our favorite combination. Remember old Erdogan, Uggs? Got Macron by the finger. You remember that one? That was really good. I think the big Don is trying to sort of impose himself on the boys a bit. And he doesn't really need to do it. I mean, the big Don is an emperor. They're flailing around at his feet like lapdogs anyway. But this really kind of defines it. This is really worth watching. Any people watchers out there, body language experts, we'd love to hear what you're going to think about this in the comments. Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Okay, start the stopwatch. Start the stopwatch. Look, drags him across a bit. He's not getting away.
So far, it looks all right.
Give him the A-team grip. Yeah. Alpha male grip.
And look how they're fighting who has it.
What? It's kind of cringe. Who can be? Oh, look, no, you're not going anywhere. No, stay. You hang up. No, you hang up.
Macron, kiss his hand next time.
You know, as they would have said to the Pope, kiss my ring. Easy. Now, you might think that is the, like, pinnacle of cringe, right, Augie? But the pinnacle of cringe wasn't reached at that moment. You know, as we say, sort of the clapping seals, the sort of low-life supplicants, were all called. At 20 minutes notice, I called them, I summoned them, they all turned up, okay? He actually said that. But this is just beautiful. Check out how he kind of looks around. Where's the UK? He doesn't even call them. Where's Keir Starmer? It's, where's the UK? Who is the UK? And he looks around, and of course, the Starmer Fuhrer is behind and grimacingly, cringingly crawls forward. And sort of, you know, yes, I'm here, great one, our master. And then the big Don just turns his back on him and goes back to the microphone. And just, he's left to sort of fade into the hedge like Homer. It's just, this is just so, so good. Run the video, Augie.
United Kingdom.
Here we
Where's
go.
United Kingdom? Where's our friend? Where? Come here.
Come here, good dog.
Come here. Good dog.
These people all came and like, 20-minute notice, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, now
we have so many others, and it's just so many others, and. These people all came in like...
Look, watch the face.
20, so many others, and just so many
oh
others,
my
many
God,
others
so,
and
oh,
just so
bad,
many others.
So
and
of course, we feel really sorry for Starmer, don't we, Uggy? Do we? Of course, the Starmer Fuhrer wasn't alone, right, Uggy? Freddie Nomates, as he's become known, Frederick Mertz, you know, the man who's presiding over the complete meltdown of Germany. And it's not a nuclear meltdown because they closed all their nuclear power stations. So it's basically a Nord Stream meltdown, a sort of immigration meltdown. It's just a complete show meltdown. Poor old Fred was left all on his own, wasn't he, Uggy?
Sometimes I even wonder, are these the European elites or a bunch of first graders?
Yeah, they're just the kind of people that you used to bully at school, right? Even you bullied people at school.
Yeah.
Didn't you? I mean, that's saying a lot.
I would say these are the kind of people that even teachers bully in school.
Yeah, these are the type of people that even the victims of the victims of the bullies of the victims got bullied by. And by the way, we don't think anyone should be bullied at school. And except I can bully Augie on the show. That's in my contract. Mm-hmm. Run the video. Look.
I like how he manages to look idiotic.
Is his arm in a sling?
No. He's just holding his arms in, like, defensive posture. And I'm surprised how he manages to look like a, you know, 8-year-old boy standing alone there in the corner and trying to awkwardly smile.
Yeah, it's just cringe. I mean, it's the USA has now got an extra state. It's Europe, right? They have zero power and zero sovereignty now. It's basically the EUSA. It could be, Ilya might do like a graphic which says like Brussels, Uncle Sam's regime change takeaway.
Taste democracy! Now with 20% more moral superiority. Our Ukrainian special, hot, spicy, and endlessly refilled.
Now, of course, the reason that these people tolerate Trump, every single one of these politicians, remember, and their parties and their associates call Trump a Nazi, a racist, a madman, a megalomaniac, a lunatic, before they realized that he was going to win the election in the United States. When they realized he was going to win, they kind of changed their tune a bit, right? Yes, well, you know, the United States is a great friend of ours. We must tolerate them. They're tolerating him now because he is the weapons factory, okay? Now, in reality, the US probably doesn't have enough weapons to sell the EU to give to their friend, the narco-fuhrer, to fight the losing war against Russia. But let's forget about that. Let's park that for now. Now, of course, running through this pencil of idiocy is a big chunk of lead, which is hypocrisy, gross hypocrisy, right? The idea now, of course, to seize Russian assets, which is completely illegal under international law, it seems to be very popular in Europe. Most of this money is held in Belgium, by the way. Now, the idea that Russia has to pay for everything that's happened in Ukraine, despite the fact that Ukraine started the whole thing by attacking their own people in 2014, let's forget all those inconvenient realities. Russia now is expected to pay for the complete reconstruction of Ukraine. Augie, let me ask you, riddle me this, Batman.
This will clear things up.
If Russia has to pay for the war in Ukraine, I presume Israel's going to have to pay for the turning Gaza into a car park, right?
Oh, no, Chi.
Why?
You don't understand. It's
what do you mean I don't understand?
It's a completely different thing.
Why?
Because it's you know, when genocide is committed by Israel, it's democratic. And when democratic. Russia makes yeah. sure not to target...
Yeah, Israel, anyway, blah. Now, wouldn't you love to hear a question like that getting asked in the... European Parliament, maybe.
It's never going to get answered.
It's never going to get asked again, because the dude who asked this question will probably be barred from the building and never let in again. But maybe accidentally on purpose, a journalist did manage to ask an EU representative exactly that. And this is absolutely beautiful. Listen to our answer. Run the video, Augie.
You have been repeating several times that Russia should repay for the reconstruction of Ukraine. Do you believe Israel should repay for the reconstruction of Gaza, since they have destroyed almost all the strip and the civilian infrastructures?
Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Thank you, Gabriele. It's definitely an interesting question on which I would not have any comment at this stage.
I mean, what a joke.
Imagine the relief they're feeling now that the war in Gaza is over.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't have to see...
It's over, ending in 3, 2, 1.
So they can go back to be pretending that they're the good guys?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And maybe that the war in Gaza is over now. It's all to make sure that the remaining capacity for weapons in the United States that were getting sent to Israel to fight the war against the people in Gaza can now be diverted to the lucrative buyers in Europe. That would be a very cynical thing to suggest. I'm not suggesting that they would do that.
That makes me understand why NATO's head, Mark Rutte, has been having a really nice mood lately.
Yes. Mark has just had a big meeting with all his friends in Europe, in NATO, and they've been very animated about the idea that they're now going to get their drone wall, which some people in Latvia and Lithuania actually think is an actual wall. Sorry, it's not. And old Mr. Rutte, the Teflon Don, the man who got fired from politics in Holland, he's in such a good mood. All this debt, all this potential war, all these bonuses he's getting paid and tip-offs from Raytheon and McDonnell Douglas and all the big arms manufacturers in the States. I mean, he's so happy he started to become a bit of a stand-up comedian, Augie, right?
But very bad one.
Very bad one. Run the video.
I sometimes make this joke that when you buy an F-35 for a Patriot system, this is the old Russian joke about the Lada and the refrigerator, that the Lada guy will tell you it will arrive in 10 years and then the reaction is in the morning or the afternoon. Why is it relevant? Well, in the afternoon a refrigerator will arrive.
What the f*** is he saying?
Commence laughing.
What was he actually saying?
He's trying to retell a very old Soviet joke. It's the joke about Soviet wait lines. So the guy comes to the ministry that's supposed to give out cars, and they tell him, your car will be issued to you in 10 years on Monday. And the guy says, in the morning or in the evening? And they say, why does it matter? It's going to happen in 10 years.
I got to pick up my washing machine in the morning.
Yeah,
I remember. Now, while old Mark is in such a good mood, he also let a few home truths slip, right? He accidentally, on purpose, admitted that the, you know, few Russian jets buzzing around up in Estonian international waters aren't really a threat at all. Why don't you shoot them down? Well, why would we shoot them down? The Russians aren't trying to threaten us. They're not even trying to start a war. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, basically, Mark has admitted that NATO has absolutely nothing to worry about from Russia, that Russia, you know, isn't a threat because we're so strong, we're so great, we don't even need to worry about it. Well, then why the f*** are we spending 800 billion euros worth of taxpayers' money while Europe goes down the on weapons, Mark? Riddle me that. Interesting. Run the video, Augie.
Let's trust our military. They have the best stuff. They're very well trained. We've done this for over 50, 60, 70 years. We know how to do this. And let's not take the Russians too seriously.
I think he's trying to persuade the people that the World War III that he's starting to, you know, that he's going to start, is going to walk in the park.
Yeah.
Don't worry, my dear European. It's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It reminds you of one guy, right? Behind, before the Operation Barbarossa.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be completely simple. And let's forget the fact that Russia has the biggest, most modern nuclear weapons arsenal on planet Earth. Inconvenient fact. So speaking about World War III being a walk in the park, as Mr. Rutte has said, let's forget it. It's going to be easy. It'll be over by Christmas. That old chestnut, right, Augie? It'll be over by Christmas, my darling. I'll be home immediately. Yeah, in a wheelchair. So Mark thinks it's going to be a walk in the park. And of course, that's probably going to be because the armies of NATO are exceptionally well trained. They are completely focused on physical fitness, combat readiness. Russia, of course, now has over 1 million combat veterans in the air, artillery, you know, small arms, everything, drones. You know, the Russian army is probably the most formidable combat, you know, veteran army on Earth right now. And of course, let's have a look at what NATO's got. Augie, what do you think? Where will we start? Roll the dice there, the NATO dice of wonderfulness. And let's see who's going to actually be manning the barricades. Who's it going to be? I'll give you a clue. ABBA. I'll give you ABBA and Saab.
The IKEA troops.
Yeah, the IKEA battalion and the ABBA special forces group.
With that army, it's going to be like a walk in the park.
Oh, it's
going to
be like a walk in the park, all right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Check it. Run the video, Augie. What? Here we go. Oh, yeah, it's the Clown World banner. Now, let's not forget, when you are dragged off the street, you know, Ukraine is basically a laboratory to see how far you can push a society, pulling people off the streets, abducting people. When that happens in Western Europe, which you will have to do if there's going to be a war against Europe, which they're absolutely desperate to create, they're going to tell you that your family, fathers, uncles, brothers, and maybe sisters and mothers will be dragged off to die for NATO and glorious Europe for Western values, right? Western values. Now, people with children probably won't be dragged off the street because they'll get to stay at home and mind the baby. Maybe that's why there's an absolute freak show being concocted in a place called Canada. Our old friends in Canada, the ones who worship Nazis, you know, give them solace and a safe place after World War II. Yes, old Justin's love den, let's call it. Let's have a look at what's going on in Canada right now. Now, this is not AI. This is not made up. This is not a fake. This was actually spotted by Augie there. Yeah, he's got like the eyes of a spider and the body of a slug. And this is real. Three men and a baby, as they call it. Not the movie, not the laugh. This is more like a horror show. Run the video, okay.
For the last 7 years, Jonathan Bédard, Eric Leblanc, and Justin Maheu have been waiting to become parents together, something that officially happened yesterday.
She's perfect, of course. She's curious, she's energetic, she loves to play, she loves to jump, she loves to dance.
They adopted their three-year-old through Quebec's Youth Protection Services, but first had to be approved as foster parents, something that required a lot of work and openness, they say, to their relationship.
We had a lot of things to go through in order to be able to have that accreditation.
I mean, when does it stop? Maybe it's supposed to make people angry. I don't know. Is there anything that they won't do now?
I don't know, dude, but for those Western values, good luck dying for.
And now, you know, one of the worst pieces of news is I'll never f***ing watch Three Men and a Baby again. Tom Selleck, the mustache, bro. So let's leave the Canadian clown show and head back towards the UK, which has turned into a complete show. Absolutely. And our old friend Bojo, Boris the Butcher. You know, he's quite an entertaining kind of guy, actually, you know, quite intelligent. And at one stage, Boris was quite pro-Russian. He was anti-European, quite an interesting character, educated in a very wealthy school, has more kids than toes. And he's actually been turned, it seems, very much turned. I wonder how. Let's see, a very well-educated public school MP, you know, heads overseas to work as a foreign correspondent. MI6, I'd say. Right, Augie? For sure. 100%. Boris is definitely MI6, along with his old school pal, Mr. Sikorsky, who just so happened to be married to Anne Applebaum, who's a complete Democrat Ukrophile. Check out Mr. Sikorsky and Bojo. Went to the same school and were in the Bullingdon Club together. Very exclusive bad boy club. Now, getting back to the story, old Boris, it was revealed, received £1 million, the biggest single donation to a politician in British history. And he received this money from a completely disinterested businessman, a billionaire. Yeah. Now, the billionaire that gave him the money just so happened to own a business selling drones to Ukraine. Now, you might ask yourself, around the time, Uggy, when Mr. Bojo got his £1 million from this pal, the war could have ended, possibly, you know. I wonder why Boris might have said, don't end the war. You've got to fight on. I wonder why. He got £1 million in his back pocket. His mate's building loads of drones. Augie, any thoughts on that?
I don't know. Dear viewers, what do you think? Seems like she's onto something.
Yeah. One and one makes two. Yeah, two butchers. Anyway, look, the main thing is that Boris takes it all very seriously. And, you know, he's very careful not to flaunt his wealth or his joy and his happiness wherever he goes. He's very reserved because he knows that he's probably responsible for the death of about 1 million people. Right? Correct, Augie?
Wrong. You're reveling in the blush that he started.
Yeah, here we go. Run the video. Pass the sick bag.
I want the editor to intersperse this with the videos of Ukrainian graves and the bombs.
Yeah. You know, there's an old saying we have in Ireland. One day pigs might fly. Pigs might dance. And we just saw one. And what does a pig need, Augie? He needs a pigsty. He needs a pig house. He needs somewhere to live. Right? And it turns out that Birmingham in the UK has officially turned into a...
It's Birmingham they mentioned, but we know the truth, Shay. It's the whole place.
The whole place is turning into a... Maybe. Where's old Sadiq Khan, the old, you know, the mayor of London, the man who hates carbon emissions and wants equilibrium in affairs? Oh, he's off on a super yacht with his billionaire pal, belching out carbon emissions while you pay, you know, a tenner every time you want to drive your car into London. Yeah. Anyway, let's check out how Birmingham is. You can't even hide it in the mainstream media anymore, it seems, Augie. Run the video.
Time and again, people keep complaining to me that Britain's streets are covered in litter. So I've come here to Handsworth in Birmingham to see for myself. And these are some of the filthiest streets in the country. People should not have to live like this. The people who are doing this are getting away with it, and the council seems to be doing absolutely nothing. If you think this is bad, wait till you see what happened around the corner the other day.
Filth, piled high on a residential street, and left there for days on end.
I mean, it's easier to start a world war than fix this.
Well, here, I tell you what's good about this, okay? Newsflash, okay? Here's the good news. If a nuclear weapon does hit Birmingham in this coming war with Russia, remember, if there is a war with Russia and they start to get nuclear, Birmingham, London, Cardiff, Glasgow, all the big cities will be vaporized. But only one will be safe place to be if the Russians do nuke the UK, and that would be Birmingham, because Birmingham will look exactly the same after a nuclear weapon hits it as it did before.
Oh, so that, Jay, yeah,
that's what they're doing.
That explains the next video we're going to play.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought our viewers will say, oh, Birmingham, everybody knows it's a So the next video I prepared is a video of London to prove that, yeah, you're a capital shithole too.
Yeah, well, that's because they know that when the Russian nukes fall, everything will look the same after the nuke as it did before.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, you see, come on. Run the video.
They're sitting in their own filth. Is this like the designated street in the UK?
So that was the Notting Hill Carnival. Now, the Notting Hill Carnival is a Afro-Caribbean festival that's held in London every year. This year, the British police deemed it to be a huge success because there was only a couple of hundred arrests, you know? There's only a couple of stabbings and only a couple of policemen had to kicked out of them. So this was a success, right?
Now, the question here, Che, is how many naughty posts on Twitter was there?
Oh, there were numerous. I can't say anything about that because you have to think before you post.
Asshole.
Well, that brings us to the end of another tour of the schizophrenic asylum that is known as Europe and the USA. And what's new? Well, nothing's really new. It seems that PR always trumps. You see what I did there, Augie? Trumps. Reality. The Big Don has an increasingly worrying case of Bidenitis, we think, here at the Moscow Mules Clinic. And we're going to be having a look at that in the next episode. In the meantime, we all hope and pray that the peace deal in the Middle East holds and that there is actually a peace deal, despite the fact that Palestinians are still being killed and treated like subhumans in their own land. Now, listen. Let's hope. We live in hope. But one thing you can hope for and be sure of is that we'll be here same time, same place next week to have a little giggle with you as we narrate the absolute show. We'll see you then. Take care.